In the church I serve, some of you are familiar that it was formerly an independent Baptist church. Now, there was a group of independent Baptist churches in that area that believed very much the same doctrines we do. We might look at them in the same light as we would look at a progressive primitive Baptist church. Really, the only difference in this church that I'm serving before I became their pastor was they had piano that they used when they sang hymns. But other than that, the doctrine was the same. The problem was their pastors, as the older pastors passed off the scene, the younger pastors weren't as sound in the faith. And the last one that we know of that was sound in the doctrine of the Primitive Baptist has recently had to resign due to health problems. And so now we're sending preachers to preach at the church he serves. So we hope and pray that they'll continue to show an interest in our people. I say all that to say that I've been going through the book of Romans, and I feel like that's a good part of the Bible to cover when you're preaching to people that had been sound in the faith, but then had recently been exposed to some unsound doctrine. I believe it's a good book to go to reestablish the Lord's people in the faith. I found that the subject of justification is a very complex and multifaceted subject. And when you add to it the component of faith or justification by faith, it gets even more complicated. I know that there is much that I yet to see on this subject, because much of Paul's writings don't seem to me at this point to follow a logical progression. And I'm not criticizing Paul. I'm just saying that evidently there's a lot I don't see yet. So this morning, I want to take the time we have before us to speak to you on the subject of justification, and we'll only be able to give you just some highlights, and you may have more questions than answers when I'm finished, but I hope it'll be edifying and profitable. And it's good to have questions as long as those questions are not based on confusion, but based on insight that calls for more insight. So first of all, what is justification? Well, the simplest way I can describe this concept is you think of someone in a courtroom who has been accused of a crime. They're not guilty of the crime, but they're on trial for it. And when the trial is finished, the jury comes back with a verdict of not guilty. They're declared righteous. They're declared innocent. That's what justification is. It's to render a verdict of righteous. It's to make a declaration. Biblically, it seems that it is just to declare righteous based on something. There's also always something upon which that declaration of righteousness is made. Now, for the sake of time, I'll not be able to necessarily go into in-depth proof of all the points I want to make, but I hope it will stir you to be as those noble Bereans and search the scriptures and see if the ideas that I present are the truth. Now, one of the advantages that primitive Baptists have with this subject is our understanding of salvation by grace alone. That provides a solid footing for further study and understanding of the subject of justification. So let's begin in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall..." Let me start over. Romans 3:20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." What's that saying? That's just saying when you read the law, let's just say the Ten Commandments. When you read through those commandments and you think about the things Jesus said about some of them. For example, one of them is, "Thou shalt not kill." You may say, "Well, that doesn't condemn me. I've never killed anyone." But Jesus said, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're a murderer. One says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You may say, "Well, I've been faithful to my wife from day one." Well, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And that's something that brings more insight to how we're guilty of breaking the commandments of God. And we could talk about being covetous and many others we could refer to. But notice he says here that it's by, that is, through the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. No one is declared right in the sight of God as a result of their performance in attempting to keep the law. Right. No flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That just means when you read the Ten Commandments, just like when you read so much of the Bible, all it does is convince you that I'm a sinner, that I'm not right with God, that there is no basis upon which God can declare me right. It just gives me the knowledge of sin. One of my favorite expressions that Paul uses with regard to this is in chapter 7, verse 9. Listen to this. "For I was alive without the law once." When there's no law, I'm in good shape. How about you? If there are no thou shalt nots, I'm okay. Paul says, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Now, you are already a sinner. The law didn't make you a worse sinner, but the law exposed your sin. The law showed that you were a sinner. "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." I don't know about you, but I'm dead based on the law. I cannot live based on the law. I cannot be justified based on the law. But look at Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Now we come to what I believe is such an important support for a correct interpretation of the many scriptures and the many facets of justification. Here he says in Romans 4:25, referring to Jesus, "who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." This is what was accomplished by Christ. He was delivered upon the cross. That's what he's referring to. He was delivered upon the cross for what? Our offenses, our sins. He was delivered for our sins. In Peter's epistle, notice how he expounds upon this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, referring to Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Ye were healed by the stripes of Jesus. The text here in Romans 4:25 says, he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. You are declared not guilty in the court of God based on the resurrection of Jesus. Right. Not based on faith, not based on works. You're declared not guilty. He was raised for your justification so that you could be declared and were declared not guilty. Notice the several scriptures that we can mention with regard to this. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, listen to this. He says, being justified, that says, being declared righteous. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing about what you have done mentioned in this verse in terms of the basis upon which you are justified. No faith, no works, no keeping of the law. He says, you're declared not guilty. You're justified. You're righteous. Freely. Listen to the words here. This is freely. There's no cost on your part. Freely by what? Grace. By the unmerited favor of God. You're justified freely by his grace. How? He says, through, that is, by means of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is a process by which you pay something and you get what you paid for. Otherwise, the transaction of redemption has not taken place. So this doesn't leave you hanging, see. This is all of God. You're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then look at chapter 5. And verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Here is at least the third scripture we've read pertaining to justification, pertaining to you not being guilty before God, none of which include you keeping the law, none of which include your works, none of which include your faith. Notice this, much more than, while you could leave that off and it'd still declare the same truth I'm trying to get across, but notice how much emphasis he puts. Much more than being now, present tense, right now. And by the way, this was written about 2,000 years ago. Paul said about 2,000 years ago, here's what he said concerning God's people. He says, being now justified, being declared righteous by his blood, comma, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's future. You see that? We're right now justified, declared righteous by his blood, so we shall be saved from wrath through him. So justification, our being just in the sight of God is based on grace. It's based on the redemption through His blood. Now look at Romans, or rather, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. I know that you understand and believe that Jesus saved His people from their sins. Notice this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The law taught us something. Now, what has it taught us based on the verses that I read in Romans? The law teaches us that we can't get right with God by keeping the law. We can't reach a status of not guilty by trying to keep the law. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. But he says here, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, what's he talking about? Justified by faith. Well, there's at least two ways you can look at this, at least two things to be gleaned. I'm not talking about two alternative interpretations. I'm talking about at least two points you can derive from it. One is that the only people that have faith are people that are born again, right? You know, we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul asked the church to pray for him that he would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Not all men have faith. And Paul wasn't burdened to try to figure out a way to give them faith, because Peter explains to us the only way that any man that has faith gets faith to begin with. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Peter is writing to people who have obtained, that means they have come into mutual possession of faith. And how do they come into that possession of faith? He says it's through the righteousness of God. How did you get faith? It wasn't through you. It wasn't through anything you did. It was through the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God dealing with you. Did not Paul tell the brethren at the Philippian church that He that hath begun a good work in you, a good work in you, a righteous work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is a work of God. So when we read over here in Galatians 3:24, where he says, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, we can see that faith is only found in a child of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Faith is only found in a child of God. But there's also, we're justified by faith in the sense that, listen now, this is so important, that when we understand that it's not the law that gets me right with God. I can't get right with God through the law. This is a new way. This is a new covenant. Jesus Christ bare my sins in His body. I've been justified by His blood. You understanding that you're justified and made right with God by His blood gives you that sense of understanding that you are right with God and you're justified by faith. You see that? It's your understanding, your knowledge, your embracing, your believing that Jesus died for you. You believe that Jesus made you right with God. You're justified by faith. So you see, God sees that faith. What does it say about faith and God's view of Abraham's faith. He says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Whenever you read that word counted and so and other terms similar to that in the book of Romans, that means that it was imputed, it was counted, that was equivalent for righteousness. In other words, you see faith in someone, that's the equivalent of the righteousness of God being in them. He was made, we're justified by faith. And then notice in Romans 5:1, I like the way he describes it here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we're talking about how we have peace. How is it that you have peace with God? He says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That understanding that things are right between us and God because of Christ. That's what he means. We're justified by faith. And that gives us peace with God. Listen to this now. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You stand in the grace of God. You stand in that. And he says you have access. You have access by faith into that grace wherein you stand, and you rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice all that is included in these two verses. First of all, because you believe, and we're called upon to believe, aren't we? Because you believe that Jesus died for your sins. Paul said later on in this book, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He talked about the deliverance we have when we believe and when we confess, when we embrace the gospel, when we see it and understand it and realize that there's nothing about me that causes me to be the beneficiary of this salvation. It's not my belief, it's not my faith, it's not my embracing it, but my embracing it gives me that understanding and that relief and that sense that things are right between me and God. And you're justified by faith. You have access by faith into the grace you already stand in. You have access to something you already stand in. You see that? And standing in that grace, that means you understand I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by Jesus. I'm at peace with God because of Christ. It's all of Him. You see that. You understand it. You believe it. And He says you stand in that and you rejoice. And this is the outlook of the Christian. You rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's speaking of heaven. You rejoice in hope of heaven. You're in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And then look at Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So there it is again, the same basic point. And look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified in the law But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's the way you live your life. That's the way you get your sense that you have eternal life, is by faith, understanding and believing the gospel. That's why we're so narrow-minded on the gospel. That's why we're so particular about it, that there is one gospel and there's not another. And the one gospel says Jesus came to save his people from their sins, and he did it. He saved them. He redeemed them. He secured them. They're safe in him, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 21. Listen to this now. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Your life and your works and your behavior declares to the watching world, declares to others. It's your testimony. It gives witness that you're a child of God. Now, we know there are multiple examples of children of God in the Bible that didn't give too good a witness to the fact that they were a child of God. And I've had a lot of practice with that myself. Maybe you have too. And thankfully, that doesn't nullify that we're justified by his blood, that were saved by grace. But Abraham was a man that believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. His belief, his faith, meant that the righteousness of God was in him. And he also did the things the Lord said. And he was declared righteous. That is, it advertised that he was a child of God. I hope this has been something you can understand, and I hope I'm not presented in a way that would cause confusion. But this is a subject that is multifaceted, but when we study it and preach it based on the truth of grace, it can be easily understood.
Amen.